Irene,
Yep.
can you call a quorum? Or can you determine a quorum? Call the...
Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Jay Lister. We'll be late.
Okay.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Katie Holman.
Here.
Meg Litster.
Here.
And Maria Funt, no? I don't see her. Okay.
Great. Okay, we have a quorum. We will say the Pledge of Allegiance and I will stand and I will do what I did last week, which was got Randy's. There you go. Do that.
Perfect.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Approval of the agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written for May 12th, 2020. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Motion passes 4-0.
Sarah?
Yeah?
I think we have to do roll call votes for everything.
Oh, you're right. Oh, thank you. Okay. Irene, can you please call the roll?
Sure. Cheryl File.
Yes.
Meg Litster.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes 4-0. Okay. Since we don't have Maria coming in, if she does log in later, we can come back to the we're skipping a student presentation, aren't we?
Right. Correct.
I don't know why.
Student representative report.
Yeah, but number 5 says student presentation, so I wasn't sure if there was something else on.
So.
Okay, number 6. Student representative report, and Maria is not on. But I wanted to acknowledge the fact that she has been the board's or the student's representation to the board for the last 2 years. She's graduating this year, and we are sorry to see her go. She's done a wonderful job, and we have really looked forward to her reports throughout the year and her input. And if you're listening, Maria, thank you very much for your efforts for the last 2 years, as well as keeping us up to date on what's going on at the high school level. Next, do we have any correspondence?
No.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to the agenda? Have anybody even in the audience? Okay. Comments from the audience related to agenda items? No? Okay. Comments from board members? Okay. Not hearing any. I'll move on to number 11, which is the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes our monthly accounting, as well as our board meeting minutes from April 14th. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Meg Litster.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to the administrative reports, when we'll start with Superintendent Clint Painter's report.
Okay, well, happy Tuesday night and another beautiful evening that some of us are inside, and I love seeing the rest of you out on your deck, so it's good. Most of the things that I need to talk about are actually either in the agenda or they are under other administrative reports, so I will not go into too great a detail on any of the other items. Graduation is on there, so we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking a little bit about what next year might look like and some scenarios around that. And I do want to recognize and acknowledge our amazing teachers and staff. It was Teacher and Staff Appreciation Week last week, and we had a great time celebrating our incredible staff here in Petersburg School District. So just another shout out to our great team, and we tried to do some spoiling from afar and some delivery of a few gifts and some coffee, and anyway, so We just want people to know how much we do appreciate all of their work. And I think that's about all I'm going to get into right now. The rest of it's all coming. So thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. And next we have the elementary principal's report. This is Gone. She's on. Is she on?
Yeah, I'm here.
And Maria's on. Yes.
All right. Can you? Great. You guys can hear me, huh? Okay. Well, our last day of instruction with our computers is going to be Friday, May 22nd. We are going to have a device pickup, and it's going to be Tuesday, May 26th. The information with the times and who will be picking up what at what time and at the location is going to be in our Stedman Bulletin on our Facebook page, and going out email, I believe. And then we are coming together with some summer school options. We had a few things that were just voted on or decided on today. So we are going to be making some phone calls out to get kids some summer school. And we are partnering with the Petersburg Public Library at that time for our first session of summer school. We also had our Spring Into Read, which was 4 weeks long. There were so many participants, as you guys can see. We had 4 weeks. Our biggest week was week one, where we had 149 participants. So that was pretty exciting. We would just like to say thank you to everyone, just the teachers, the paraprofessionals, the lunch ladies, the maintenance custodian, district office, everyone. Just we appreciate you, and we just want to thank you. We are coming up with a cyber safety event, which is happening next Tuesday. The signups went out today, so they're on Facebook. They're on our PCSD website. They'll also be emailed out. But this event is Tuesday, May 19th at 6 p.m. It's open K-8. It's K-6 is consolidated schools, so all can attend for there. And then there's migrant students that can attend 6 through 8. But again, we won't turn anybody down. There is a sign-up sheet where you can have your tacos picked up on that day, so providing some dinner for you at 5 p.m. drive-by style for those who sign up on that sheet. And we just did our noise parade, which it was exciting, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was so fun, gorgeous, and great to see everybody. Any questions?
Could you tell us a little bit more about what the cyber safety event is?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, when kids usually enter their freshman year, John has been doing a cyberbullying presentation for the freshman year. Is that correct? I didn't want to speak.
Yeah, it's part of the rollout, just cyber safety and things to look for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we are wanting to pull together to talk in a K-8 situation, just because there have been online cyber concerns going on, not just here, but worldwide. And so we wanted to give the parents a similar kind of presentation as to what do we want to look at, and how can we protect our kids with our devices? What kind of information's out there? What is out there? What apps do we really want them to have, and what apps do we that would we recommend monitoring for them? So we will be going over all of that, and then we're going to open it up for a question and answer at the very end, as well as if there is enough, we're going to break out into some breakout sessions to talk about what we could do as parents of these students coming up.
So is it going to be on Zoom, or is it going to be at this? I guess I'm okay. That's what I was clear on. How is it being delivered? Okay.
Drive by the, so sign up. And mm-hmm. then once you sign up, I'm going to send out an email link for you guys to get into Ring Central. And then we'll also tell you where to pick up your tacos at. So that day you're going to drive by at 5, between 5 and 5:30, grab your tacos, head home, and you can click in and join us for that Ring Central session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, thank you. And I will say the noise parade was pretty awesome today.
We like your commentating, Sarah.
I was doing a terrible job, but it was still fun.
You were doing a great, it was awesome. We loved it.
Slightly distracted.
We loved it.
Okay, well, thank you. Anybody else have any other questions for this is fun? Okay. We'll move on to, I guess Mr. Dormer would be next.
We could go through these actually a little, if you want, and actually maybe Maria could even.
Oh yeah, we can go back to Maria.
Type in a little bit on some of these, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so first, sorry I was late. My computer was being a little funky, but we figured it out. So ASB had a meeting last week, and I think the main focus of the meeting was just what we can do as student leaders to help the student body either finish strong, because we have 2 weeks left, and we've been adapting for a month or so now, which seems weird just that we've spent that long. But yes, and then also if just planning for whatever next fall has and how we can help the student body be as prepared as whatever happens, whether learning looks different or something, just like what we as ASB can do to help them. We've also been accepting videos of underclassmen who want to be a part of ASB next year. So how we've been doing that is each applicant makes a video just like they would a speech in front of the student body, and they submit it to one of the executive board members for ASB, and we will hold those elections, I think, before like next week is the plan. So yeah.
Nice.
I think that's about it for what we've been up to.
Creative way of doing your elections.
Well, we really wanted to have it done by the spring, and even with all of this craziness, we still think it would be better to have student leaders before we even start school in the fall next year. So
yeah, I think that's a good idea too. Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you, Maria. Have you did you do your walk today?
I did it yesterday, actually.
Yesterday. Okay.
Yes. Very exciting.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad the weather cooperated. Nice. Anybody have any questions or comments for Maria? Okay.
Mr. Dormer is on now, Sarah.
Okay. Rick,
hi, everyone. Thanks
for... you can take it away. We're to where you are. Middle school, high school principals report.
I see that. Thank you. Well, I'll start from the end that we just had such a wonderful last couple of days. Jamie and I put a lot of time with Denver and Tanya Somerville and our wonderful graduates. We saw Maria yesterday and her family, but every single student and family was just delightful. Coming out and getting videoed for our graduation film montage celebration that we're putting together. So what a neat experience. Again, Denver was professional, Tanya was professional, and I got some really, just captured some great pics. It's just beautiful out there. And then, you know, just getting the celebration of being in the cap and the gown and the walk and holding the diploma cover and stuff. So it's a nice kickoff start. And it all just happened to kind of come together. I mean, we planned it around the weather, but then comes together with the yard signs coming in. And parents have been really happy with those. And then you saw the banners come up today. So a lot of pieces really came together now, and a couple parents kind of tearing up a little bit, realizing it's happening fast. You know, it is here. The students have less than 2 weeks, and our graduates will be holding a diploma in 2 weeks and maybe 40-45 minutes. So it is it's happening pretty fast. So cool stuff for the graduates getting going. Yeah, so on my report, you saw last academic day district-wide May 22nd, and we've been advertising that, talking about it. We will obviously still go to school those last 26th, 27th, and 8th, and we just know the check-in process of not just laptops and backpacks, textbooks that have gone home, support materials, MiFi devices. I mean, that's a list that we want to give ourselves some time, and we don't want to be hurrying, and we know kids, a lot of kids want to get going out for summer, but also for fishing jobs and stuff. So we want to give ourselves a nice few days there to get through that process, as well as, you know, want to get out yearbooks and some stuff. We want to get to them. So so that's the plan for that last week, as well as some days there if students need a little extra time to maybe get their grade where they want it to be, or they need a little bit of remedial help. That is absolutely a good use of time for the 26th or the 28th. So that is the school calendar. A little different. That is only in the high school a finals week, and we are not doing an independent finals week at any time. Teachers are working finals kind of in a new way in this new schedule, a lot of project based, and that is an excellent decision. So that's what that looks like. Thanks, Maria, for the update on the ASB. They've been doing a great job. We have almost four people that want to run for ASB board, so we may not need to do an election. And they're all absolutely great students, so it might be a great start to the spring and next year. So looking for those ASB. We're cutting it off this week, so we're getting our last video in, and looking at a new executive board where they're all seniors, including our own Maria Futt. So thank you to those seniors for serving. Thank you, Maria, for 2 years. Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. So thank you. And just keep moving on. Yeah. Things on this graduation senior event planning to talk about, of course, is, tomorrow is the Elks dinner, and our own Jonathan Christ Tompkins is going to, they say he's going to be there the whole time. He's not doing a quick speech. He's going to sit and have dinner with us tomorrow night for the Elks Student of the Month dinner. Thanks to Jim Engel for organizing that. And again, that's a student-led, student-run kind of organization. So that's happening on Thursday night. I believe I said tomorrow. Excuse me. That's Thursday night. And then jumping ahead to that next Tuesday is baccalaureate the 19th. And then the next Thursday, of course, is the scholarship night. And when Ms. Turner and I are putting that together, and a lot of the people who granted the scholarships are putting together, she says, some really great videos of just congratulating the winner. So it's going to be neat. I'm really excited for the impact and just getting to hear a different aspect, and certainly not hearing this guy's voice drone on for a long time with each award, but to hear the people who are giving the money and talking about the kids they're giving it to. So I'm really excited for that aspect. Obviously disappointed we're not doing it in person, but it's just not an option. So we'll be kind of a Zoom meeting like this, and working on that. That's pretty cool. Any, I want to pause for a minute and know if there's any questions on just the graduation, the senior event planning from anyone. I know those are, that we're spending a lot of time and energy on that, and it's really great stuff, but are there questions?
The baccalaureate, how's that being done?
It's not Zoom is what I heard today. It's a similar format, something that the ministerial associate, it'll be a video type of conference like we're doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, good question.
And I guess the Elks dinner, I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, so again, thank you to Papa Bears. They have helped cut the cost down quite a bit so we can afford to provide. So they are providing pizza, and Mr. Engel's got a plan. He's notified the families. I think they're picking it up maybe at the school, and got a delivery plan or something. So they'll actually get a pizza, and then they'll get together on a Ring Central meeting like this and talk together and eat together and stuff. Yeah, good question.
Creative ideas. That's what we're all about.
We are. Yeah, fun stuff. And again, just the community being so supportive. We really appreciate that to make it special. This one, just not for seniors, but for all of our Elks Student of the Month over the year, which is a great group of kids that have been nominated. So,
you're planning for incoming sixth grade orientation. Are you thinking maybe delaying that until August, just because who knows what we may or may not be allowed to do?
We are probably anticipating having another one in the fall. We're trying to do our regular. So I've been working with, we have been working with Mr. Sullivan, and I always call her Carla. Is it Green? I don't know. Is that right? Sorry to call her Carla on the first name basis here. But the two fifth grade teachers and talking, and we're working on that, just details today. I believe it will be Monday. Jamie and I are going to video into their class. Virtual class and do the slideshow like we always do. We just won't be able to do a person, and we're going to record it. If any kids aren't able to make it, or you know, mom and dad's not a good time to get the kid on, then that's okay, and we'll record it and then we'll post it so all students and families have access. And then we'll do a similar orientation. I just have to do it on Zoom just to answer questions. So we still want to talk about next year. We know it's coming. Not sure what the format's going to look like, but you're right, sir. I think we'll have to do another one in the fall, just once we know a little bit more about the schedule. We want to give them also some time to get in there when we're allowed to, so they can try out those lockers and get the tour that the kids that they're missing this spring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Dormer? No? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Director Activities. Mr. Cabral, is he on, or we'll just kind of go over his?
He's here too.
I am here. Okay.
I can only see so many people.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jay has joined us. He must have joined us at some point.
Yes, we were just all three together, Mr. Dormer and Dr. Lister, finishing up Bryn's little senior walk, so it was great. It was fun. It was cool, yeah. But yeah, I've got some notes. I'll just go quickly, then you guys can ask questions. But activities still canceled at this time for the remainder of the spring and the rest of the school year. And we are... Right now, the last time we got together, we did finish our region spring meeting, and we are planning as if the fall will happen. That way we are prepared if we are a go. And we are going to actually meet once a month until school begins, just so we can kind of get the most updated information and see what's going to be happening. And just on the planning stages right now of how, if we are able to go, what housing and transportation is going to look like, because that will throw a wrench into activities tremendously. So we are still in the working modes of that one. We are actually meeting this Thursday to get an update on the state board meeting that just happened, and then we're going to keep meeting monthly. Some pretty cool stuff from ASA. They sent some memorabilia items for our state qualifiers for basketball that we're going to get out to our kids here soon. So the basketball coaches are working on that. And if you've ever been to a state event, they all get little passes. And a lot of the kids collect those passes to put on their bags. And they actually sent the passes. So we're going to get those to the kids so they can have their state pass for getting into the gymnasiums and things of that sort. So kind of cool that they sent some memorabilia down for them just so, you know, just to recognize our teams that qualified for state. So really cool to get those. We'll get those to the kids as soon as the coaches get their memorabilia stuff too for their teams and hand them out all at one time. So we're figuring all that stuff out. So pretty cool. Some big things, sports physicals for those of you that have students going into middle school or are currently in middle school and high school. We are looking at extending physicals for another 6 months. So they will be typically, they usually go 18 months right now. They will probably be good for 24 months. We're gonna get the final vote on our next ASA board meeting from our sports medicine committee. We call it the SMAC committee. So kind of a fun little acronym there. Pretty good one. And our Planet HS for registration for activities is all up and running. We are ready for 2020, 2021 for activities. So we are all good to go there. All the directions are posted online if we're having activities next year, because we know we're going to have some esport things happen most likely. But all of our fall registration is all set and ready to go for next year. It is official. We are adding some new esport games for activities next year. We have NBA 2K20, Super Mario Smash Brothers, and chess alongside with League of Legends and Rocket League. So there will be, however, some new eligibility rules that will go into esports, and that'll affect some of our kids. They're looking at if you participate in League of Legends in the fall season, you cannot participate in NBA 2K20 in the same fall season. So it's going to spread out the participation numbers quite a bit that way, and that way there's more activities for the kids to be involved in. But a lot more e-games coming our way for our students. And a pretty cool one that Mr. Dorman and I got to be a part of. The high school baseball team did host their senior appreciation via Zoom, and we got Zoom bombed by a very special person. We actually had Jamie Moyer come in and Zoom bomb the senior appreciation for the seniors. And those of you that know baseball or don't know baseball, he played for the Mariners for 10 years. He's a Seattle Mariners Hall of Fame guy, and he got drafted, played for the Rangers. Played for the Phillies, won a couple World Series while he was with the Phillies, and is now living in California. But he just spent 2.5 hours just chatting with the kids, and it was amazing. Really good stories, and got to talk to the kids more about just some life lessons and what is his favorite book and more of the mental game and things of that sort. Respect your kid, respect your adults, you know, your parents, make sure when was the last time you think. It was just great. It was super cool. So really fun to have that moment and just to see the light up on the kids' face when he popped on. We knew it was going to happen, but the kids had no idea. Some of their parents are standing by, and you get some tears from the moms and dads in the background. So kind of cool for them to have a major leaguer talk to them who spent was pitching in the majors till he was 49. So not very many people get to say they've done that. And then I will get to participation rates. And even though we didn't have some spring activities, our participation rates are still pretty darn high. So we've got all the data for you there. Participation rates, and this data includes students involved in one or more activities at the middle school and the high school. For middle school activities, it was cross-country, basketball, cheerleading, robotics, wrestling, volleyball, yearbook, student council. It does not include track and field because we didn't have an exact number because they didn't start yet. And so our middle school final percentage was 91% of our middle school population is involved in one or more of those activities out of 107 students. And then our high school activities included cross country, swim, dive, volleyball, wrestling, basketball, cheerleading, basketball, or baseball, track and field, high school play, esports, yearbook, Southeast Honors Music, State Music, Art Fest, State Art, and student government. And that was at 89% participation rate. Out of 124 students. So really, really high numbers as always, but just kind of cool to see all the activities that we do have listed there of what the students are involved in. So kudos to all the students and their coaches and advisors and everybody else. That's all I got.
And you too, Jamie.
Cool. Thank you. Any questions you guys got?
All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next, which would be Director of Maintenance and Facilities. Dan, we got you for this month and next month, and then you're leaving us. Where is he?
Yeah, and actually, he's not on tonight. He's actually taking vacation day today, but he...
Oh, today was a good day to take a vacation.
Yeah, he submitted his notes for us, too, and I could just quickly go through those.
Sure.
They are definitely keeping up on their kind of their deep cleaning and their deferred maintenance projects that they've been working on, doing quite a bit of reorganizing of taking the time to do that while things are kind of emptied out. Construction projects have begun. These are ones that have been on our list for a while, and it's working out to get people in and get some of this work done with the weather and not having students in right now. So working on creating an office for Carly in the food service down in the elementary, and it's almost complete. Working on our project that we've been doing for quite a few years on the playground we've been utilizing some of our funds out of our capital and our ADA money. So some things have been purchased. There's some a fundraiser that has been in Molly Park's name that for some equipment and getting that installed. So we're really excited to see that happen this year. No more food service renovation. So it's going to happen this summer. So we're excited. If you haven't driven by the high school lately, the whole front is kind of torn up. That's a project we've been waiting for about 7 years to get our concrete work redone for the entry. And they are really making use of this weather. And I don't know, I bet it'll be done by the end of the week. So, and it looks beautiful. It's about halfway done right now. It looks great. And it gets rid of all the bumps and the pits. And it's been a bit of a hazard. So we're really excited to have that done. And we have hired later down the agenda, if you approve, a new facility and maintenance director. And he's been doing some transition work with Mr. Tate last week and into the beginning of this week. And I think that's about it for Mr. Tate.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
Let's see, where am I at?
Okay, here we are.
Now we're into school board committee reports, which I'm wondering if any of us have had any of them. Crisis?
Nothing.
Curriculum? Katie?
We did meet, but it's on the agenda, so I don't think I really say anything.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll touch on that later. Facilities?
Nothing.
Okay. Policy, we just decided to wait till the fall. And technology, Jay, I'm imagining you guys probably haven't met for that either because there hasn't been a...
Correct.
And then we're going to hear on wellness in just a little bit too. I will say probably at this time, I don't know whether it's a good time or not, but we talked about how usually on the board calendar this month is where we review the technology handbook that the students read and I believe sign when they get their laptops. And normally the board is set to just review if there are any changes, you know, from one year to the next. But I think what we kind of, Eric and I discussed was maybe potentially waiting until June or August only because we don't know what school will look like necessarily for the fall. So there may be some major changes or additions that need to be done and it needs to be, you know, changed a little bit for middle school versus high school versus even grade school. So it, we won't see it. Obviously we're not seeing it on May's meeting. It's possible in June, but it's still hard to tell. So,
yeah.
So next we had special recognition. The first week of May, of course, we talked a little bit about this as Teacher and Staff Appreciation Week. We were sad that we could not do our traditional breakfast for the staff, but we hope everybody has had a chance to get down to Common Grounds or Glacier Express and get their fun drink. If you haven't, you have till the end of the month to do that. So we encourage any staff to do that if they haven't already. So we didn't have any old business, so we'll be moved on to new business, which is the Wellness Committee report. Wellness Committee member Ginger Evans will provide an overview of the committee's accomplishments this year, as well as the Healthy Living Grant 2.0 grant. Take it away, Ginger.
Okay. Well, I don't think I really want to read the whole document because it's 3 pages long. but I would just, if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them. I did put together just a quick little slideshow that was a much higher overview of it. If you want me to share that, Erica.
That'd be great. I'll stop and you share.
Okay.
We're getting so slick with this sharing back and forth. Cute.
All right. So again, this is just the Wellness Committee report. It's kind of one of those requirements that needs to happen. And this year, Carly Johnson McIntosh and I have kind of been leading the charge with this, and it's going really well. It's been great to work with Carly with this grant project, with all of her ideas and coming from a different perspective than I might have on things going on in the district. So that's been really good. So again, one of the things with the Wellness Committee and with the 1801 grant, what we're calling the Healthy Living Grant 2.0, is the partnerships within our community. And we talked at our last Wellness Committee meeting that we feel that we have been reaching out, trying to strengthen partnerships with the medical center, as well as Parks and Rec, just trying to keep them abreast of what we're doing, inviting them to our meetings, and thinking about programs that we could have for kids in our community, reaching out to Petersburg Indian Association, working with Tori Shea with tobacco prevention, and making sure information gets put into the bulletins when they have different kind of activities going on through PIA. Partners in Education, just working with them, being able to provide resources, some funds for healthy snacks for events, as well as just working with them as we can. And then I think it was last spring, we started talking about the safety team that the school district is going to start implementing, and that's working with the facilities maintenance director. It was Dan Tate, and it will soon, the reins will be transferred over to somebody else, but it'll be interesting, and that will be focusing more on, I think, just within the facility, environmental safety issues that might come up, and using the Wellness Committee as an avenue to report back what's happening, and also probably having some members be a part of that. So trainings, we are required through the 1801 grant to participate in trainings. The big one is the Alaska School Health and Wellness Institute, and that is in the fall. It's usually towards the end of October. And we've been it's been hosted at the BP Center, and it's definitely gotten smaller over the years, but still some really good information, and it's great to get up there. Carly and I being able to work with the other grantees and the grant director, Kyde Coyle, and just lots of information fun things going on within the state. And so that's really good. And then we were able to send, so for the Alaska School Health and Wellness Institute, Carly, myself, and then Dan Van Swearingen went to that. For Alaska School Counselors Conference, Rachel Etcher attended that. And so she was able to go up there, and Jenna Turner was funded through another grant. So I think it was just great to have representation K-12 from our counselors at that conference, and lots of good information there. And then in January, Katie Brantwist went to the Alaska School Nutrition Conference. Carly talked a lot about that and thought that it would be better to send one of her staff members than for her to actually go, because as she kind of says, I could run the conference by now, you know. So it was like, and it's great. You're using some of the money from the grant to help train others, which is really the priority with that too. The main thing that was really exciting for this year was a couple years in the works was finally getting Nick the Ninja Warrior to town. And that was so much fun. And partnering with other entities in the community to make that happen. In the high school, middle school and high school physical education classes, he came in and did Native Youth Olympics. And he had it set up. He just took the kids this moment they walked into the classroom, into the gym, and got them warmed up. And then they worked on a series of different Native Youth Olympics type games. And the kids really enjoyed it and that connection. And then he had something after school for kids and in the community gym, and the community gym was packed. I went over to check it out, and there were kids everywhere. So that was a lot of fun. In the elementary school, he worked with kind of obstacle course type activities like they might encounter being a ninja warrior. So it was fun watching him. I had the opportunity during my prep time to go over and just kind of see what was going on and seeing his interaction with kids. And that was just a lot of fun with that. And then we had the big community event where we provided a spaghetti dinner for community members, anybody who wanted it, and then went in to watch Nick on the Warped Wall that we helped build on that Sunday afternoon. There's, I don't know, 20 people, I think, were in the shop. We were all in the shop helping to make it happen. And that was a lot of fun, too. So, and he had a great message at the end, too, which I thought was really good for their students and the community. And then other things that was kind of a continuation that was a big success last year was Bring Your Parent to PE Day. So Dan and Dino organized another day. Last fall, there was supposed to be a spring event, but things kind of got shut down, so that didn't end up happening. The elementary school did participate in the Healthy Futures Challenge, and a big shout out to Julie Anderson for the spring. She volunteered to help kind of track all of the sheets for the Healthy Futures Challenge, and we got interrupted partly through, so I'm not really sure the outcome with that, how that all worked, but I think Julie was pretty excited to be able to help Dan and Dino organize and get all the sheets back from students, or somehow, even if the sheets didn't get out, she would help mark down the time. We were also awarded targeted sites, so that was additional funds from the original $15,000 that we got for the 1801 grant. And there's one chunk of money that goes to middle school, high school, and then another one for the elementary school and the middle school, high school. Used a lot of that money to help support the new food science class that Iwana Ward is teaching, and but be able to help also with the culinary class and activity nights, and then elementary school, some healthy cooking classes, and veggie fruit trays as needed for different events. I mean, so it's nice to see that through the efforts that we've been doing year after year, that they have awarded us a little bit of extra money to help fund some different things in the district. Also, there was some money used to help with the Stedman Playground, health kits for the elementary school, and also just collaboration with staff K-12, listening to the needs and meet the goals for year two of the grant. This one that I skipped over is a family field day activity. Since we had some extra funds because Girls on the Run and Let Me Run program didn't happen this spring, we've gone ahead and organized, and also since field day is not going to happen, Dan and Dino are working kind of on a piece of paper to go home with some equipment for kids to keep. So all elementary students will be receiving some equipment and some sheet of paper that will say some activities that families can choose if they want to go ahead and kind of participate in their own field day. And on the 26th of May, Carly is going to work on providing kind of that hot dog lunch, end of the year hot dog lunch celebration as well. So that will be kind of a fun activity for students in K-5. The grant, as far as funds as well, we help to support the School Climate and Connectedness Survey, healthy snacks for family sports night event with pie, help to fund the stipend for the community garden coordinator and the elementary school after school program staff. We are able to help fund that position. And that is it. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and see if you happen to have any questions for me.
Anybody? Well, thank you. That was very thorough and informative, and you guys have been busy. I think sometimes we don't quite understand until we hear from, you know, all the different pieces that went into it. So thank you.
Yeah, there really is a lot that goes on, and sometimes they're small pieces, sometimes they're a little bit bigger. And I think also Carly and I just kind of do things quietly, and things kind of happen and get money to people who need it for to support different activities. So that's also good too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I was just going to make a quick comment. Thank you for the presentation. And just to point out that those sort of programs are what make our district just really special. It's the above and beyond, and we're really fortunate to have all those opportunities and all those cool things happening with the activities. And it's just really cool to see it all sort of wrapped up and go, oh, that's why that happened. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to the budget presentation and adoption. Director of Finance Karen Morrison will present the 2021 budget and will be available for our questions. But first I will make a motion to approve the fiscal year 21 budget. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Motion's made and seconded. And Karen, why don't you go ahead with the presentation and we can have a discussion then.
Sounds good. Thank you. I am happy to provide an overview of the fiscal 21 budget, operating budget, and answer questions. And Erica is going to pull up a PowerPoint presentation here. Okay, so hang on one second. Erica, it's not the right one. I guess, you know what? It's okay though. We'll go ahead and use this one.
It's FY21.
I know it doesn't have the CARES Act funding. Why don't I just talk about the CARES Act funding slide that's not in this one?
Where is it?
I don't know. When I printed it, I have it.
Well, hold on. We'll find it.
Sorry, people.
That's really weird. I swear I just downloaded it right off there. Okay. We'll find it. You could start chatting and I'll find it for you.
So actually at the beginning of this presentation, which we will get pulled up, whether it has a slide or not, I wanted to talk about, there we go. I don't see it on there. Okay, well, I'm just gonna talk about it, it'll be fine.
Oh, weird.
So I did want to talk about the CARES Act funding, as I've said three times now, because it really does impact with where we're looking financially at our district. There is so many unknowns, but this CARES Act funding is awarded by the state of Alaska. It's based on a Title I-A calculation, and our district is going to receive $142,000 from this federal relief funds. It is broken into two different components. So one component is known as ESSERF, and that is the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund for K-12 education. And the allocation for that is going to be $60,493. The second component of the CARES Act funding for the Petersburg School District is known as GEERF, I think I got that right. It's the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Funding, and we're going to receive $81,781. Both of these funding relief packages do have provisions that they have to be directly related to a response to the COVID virus. Some of the allowable uses include for educational services, technology, food service support, and student resources, and they all need to be directly related to a response from the COVID virus. So some of the preliminary plans that our district is planning on using these funds would be to support the purchase of the elementary school Chromebooks that we purchased just after spring break. This was not a purchase that we had originally budgeted for. We did allocate for it in the spring revision, but we wouldn't have purchased the Chromebooks without the response to the COVID. So that's one of the thoughts behind using some of these funds. We are also going to offer an extensive summer school program with transportation. And again, we're still working out the details on that, but that's some of the tentative plans to use the funds. And then also we're looking at ways that we can support the meals to the families program and continuing that through the summer. So speaking of the meals to family program, so there is additional funding through the CARES Act through the U.S. Department of Agriculture with the Child Nutrition Program. In Alaska, we received about $42 million, but this is not funds that are going to come directly to the school district. Instead, this is actually very specific to meal reimbursement. So there's an increase in meals, and then of course there's additional associated costs, especially with the disposable products that we're using for our grab-and-go meals. So it will help offset some of those costs that districts are experiencing. Our current food service program is being operated very similar to our summer food program. There have been waivers that have been applied and approved at both the state and the federal level that go until June 30th of 2020. And that allows us to do the grab and go meals as well as multiple meal pickup and then non-congregate feeding. All of those waivers do end as of June 30th. However, the Alaska Department of School Nutrition has filed for an extension on those waivers to see if we can get the summer food program to continue operating as it currently is all the way through the summer. We also have the option to use the ESERF funds to supplement the food service program if needed. So I just wanted to provide an overview. Erica, do you have anything you want to add or anything that I didn't cover on that?
No, I think that covers everything we talked about. I think it's just important to know that there's kind of a couple of different, there's sort of federal dollars that are coming through the state, and then just that there are some parameters around those of what we can and can't spend them on. And so it's been helpful to just sort of sort through those things, because we do have costs that were unplanned, due to this. So, yeah.
And those CARES Act funding that's related to educational purposes, those are treated actually very similar to a special revenue fund. So they're going to be treated just like our grants. The district has to pay for the items up front and then submit it as a reimbursement. And the funds are available until September 30th, 2021. Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of address that, because we haven't really talked about that. If anybody has any questions about the CARES Act funding, I would be happy to answer questions.
I've got a question. Is it meeting the need, or do we need to dip into the general fund to pay for extra?
So that's a great question, Sarah. It's obviously, from my perspective, it's not enough money to cover the needs that we're going to have, because there's so many unknowns. We don't really know what school's going to look like when we return in the fall, spring, fall, summer, fall. The borough is also receiving some additional funds that are related to CARES Act. that have a shorter timeline on them. They have to be used by December 31st, 2020. And so we've been working with the borough and just kind of letting them know some of our additional needs, because it's possible that we can use some of the funding that they receive to help offset, say, bus transportation that we're going to provide over the summer for summer school. So we're still working with the borough on that. So that's not a direct answer, because I don't have a clear answer. Obviously, worst case scenario, we're going to have to use some of our operating funds. And you'll see as I present tonight's fiscal 21 budget adoption, there is buffer in there because there are so many unknowns. We don't want to be caught, you know, blindsided by having our expenditures far exceed our revenue. So,
yeah.
Okay. Fiscal 21 operating budget adoption. Go ahead, Erica. Do you want to go to the next slide? Mm-hmm. This budget is based on 470 students. This is from the fall count that we do. We do a projection that we send to the state of Alaska. So I use those same numbers. Now we don't really know if we're going to come in at 470. I certainly hope we do. It's a slight increase from this current fiscal year of about a 0.6% change. So next slide.
Oh, ooh, about that. That's what I'm noticing.
What's that?
10 years later, 10 years later, we're climbing back up to, well, we're still 16 shy of that, but I'm just looking at overall numbers. It's just kind of interesting to see.
2011, 2012.
Yeah.
So our current staffing with this budget that we're presenting tonight includes 41 certified teachers. Currently, one position is still not filled, but we are actively working to fill the PE position, PE swim position. Our teachers include regular instruction, special education, our counselors, our librarian, our special education director, our technology director, and our activities director. We have budgeted for 34 paraprofessionals. That includes 20 classroom aides. These are both regular and special instruction. And we also have tutoring services as well. We have one technology assistant. We have four secretaries. We have one accounts payable payroll clerk. We have six custodial and maintenance staff. And we have four food service aides. That is an increase of one from last year with the new Viking Cafe. We did hire an additional staff member there. Seven exempts, that includes our administration, superintendent, the principal, my position, district admin assistant, the maintenance director, and the food service director. So this is pretty standard from last year as far as our staffing needs, with the exception of the one additional food service aide. Okay. This is a different slide, sorry. Like, there's my slide, but this is an important slide because there are so many unknowns with the COVID-19 impact. And then, I talked about the CARES Act funding. And then we have some vetoes by the governor that do impact our revenue for education. So as I stated, the budget is based on 470 enrolled students. We have flat funding currently at the borough at $1.8 million. We also have flat foundation funding from the state. There was a one-time $30 million grant that was included in the budget sent to the governor. However, the governor has vetoed that, and so I did not budget for it in this proposed budget for tonight. We have a decrease in student fee and gate receipt revenues by 43%. To lean more on the conservative side, I did not add in any gate receipts for activities. And I also did not include the activity fees that we collect from students for our activities. So we do see a decrease in or a loss in revenue by 43% on that. On the expenditure side, we have a 0.5% increase for our certified salaries. Our classified salaries are increasing at 20 cents per hour. Our health insurance premiums increased by 3.1%. However, I will say it was 5.1%, but we participated in a wellness program that was tied in with the 1801 grant, and we were able to receive a premium benefit of 2%, and so that reduced our overall premiums for our health insurance, which we're very pleased with and very proud of. We had great participation with that, and it really helped out. A big increase, 30% increase in our district insurance, that's for liability and property. And that's just not that's not just our district, that's kind of across the board increases in those insurance. The PERS insurers on behalf rates are 8.85 and 17.91. That is not a financial transaction that actually goes through the district. It's not an inflow and an outflow, but we're required to report it. So it is reflected both on the revenue and the expenditure side of this budget. And then there's some small reductions in the overall budget that includes reductions in the sub budgets and a very small decrease in student activity travel budgets. However, if we see activities come back and we are charging for the student activity fees, we can add those funds back in. And when I say it's a small amount that it's been reduced, I'm talking $25,000. So it's not unmanageable. I've kept most of the student activity budget intact. So next slide, please. Okay, so proposed fiscal 21 budget revenues of $8,832,258. So 78% of our operating revenue is from the state of Alaska. We're projecting to receive $6,861,000. 20% of our projected revenues is from the Petersburg Borough at $1.8 million. We receive 1% from the E-rate program at $105,504. This is a federal program that John Clue Painter and I work on, and what it helps offset is the cost of our internet. It covers 80% of our internet costs. So we always apply for that every year, and we have been awarded those funds. And then just under 1% of local revenues at $65,000. And like I had said before, that's down about 43% for eliminating the gate receipts for activities and reducing the student fees because of the activity fees due to the unknown situation at this point in time. Next slide, please. And this is our pie chart for our fiscal 21 budget expenditures at $8,727,198. We spend 44% of our operating budget on regular instruction at $3,818,000. 13% is spent on special education instruction at $1,155,000. We spend 13% of our operating budget on operations and maintenance at $1,146,000. 8% on instructional support services. This is our library and technology budget at $692,000. We've got 4% allocated to student activities at $370,516. 4% for school administration or the principal budget at $356,497. 4% on district admin and on the school board budget at $331,400. 4% for student support services. This is our counselor's budget at $321,736. 3% for district admin support, that's the finance budget, at $283,566. And 3% for school admin secretary budget at $251,749. So our overall projected expenditures with this initial budget is $8,727,198. Next slide, please. And this slide I provide mostly as a breakdown of expenditures by object. And really the important component of this slide is that 81% of our budget is salary and benefits, and 7% is district utilities and heating costs. And I just want to provide that picture for the board. And this presentation will also be up on our school website after hopefully this budget gets approved. So. And currently this proposed budget has our revenues exceeding our expenditures by $105,000. And this is intentional because there are so many unknowns that we want to be able to plan for, such as our student count, which may be different in October when we actually do the student count. And that drives the majority of our funding. So we put in a little cushion just to help, hopefully, deal with any unknowns that we're not currently anticipating, because we just don't know what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
So it is a very fiscally conservative budget, and I would certainly love to answer questions if there are any.
And I think you and I talked about a little bit about this, is that there are a little bit more in savings as we move into the next year, just because of the unknowns the state is.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. Could you?
Oh, I'm sorry. The cap that we have at 10%, isn't it higher? We've been permitted. I thought information that we're allowed to keep a little bit more just because those unknowns are so.
That is correct. So normally we are capped at carrying 10% of our fund balance forward. And I anticipate we'll have a little bit higher of a fund balance. When I calculated it out, we're going to have about 12% going into 20, which is again going to give us a little buffer for these unknowns in case there's not enough funds at the state or federal level to help offset the COVID costs. And we are tracking the COVID costs separately. So we will have that information to be able to provide. So maintenance, technology, and food service have their own program codes for dealing specifically with COVID.
What is the cap this year?
Meaning what is our fund balance?
No, what is the maximum amount we can carry over?
Well, they're not stipulating what that can be. It just can be over the 10%. It hasn't, they're not saying you can't carry more than 20%. Of course, that would be ideal, but we're not in that financial of a situation. I think if we carry 12%, we are way better than a lot of different school districts. We also do prepay for a certain number of our fiscal 21 expenditures. We pay for that at the end of this year in June. So we do have a little cushion that way as well. But again, it's very strategic that we're planning to conserve as much funds as we can, just because of the unknowns that we're currently facing. So I know that doesn't answer your question, Jay. It's not capped per se.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions for Karen? Thank you. That was very clear and informative, which is always helpful.
Sure.
Get back to it. Okay. Okay. Motion has been made and seconded to approve the 2021 budget. If there's no other discussion, I'll ask Irene to call the roll.
Okay. Meg Lister?
Yes.
Katie Holmlin?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, Maria Font, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What's your vote, dear?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes 5-0. All right, moving on to... Sorry. Our board participation evaluation. So, Superintendent KP, you want to discuss the plans for graduation? I know we heard a little bit about it earlier, but...
Yeah, you bet. And actually, I'll let Mr. Dormer weigh in here, too. I think this particular item is always on the agenda in May, just to talk about what the board, how the board wants to participate in every year in graduation and what that will look like. But this year, of course, it's a little bit more unique than usual. So I think we could just maybe give a little bit of an overview about what things will look like and then see how you guys want to handle handing out diplomas and that sort of thing. So as Mr. Dormer mentioned, we had all the graduates yesterday and today do some filming of their walk. And then we're going to stitch those all together and create a video along with all the speeches that are coming from the students and from their speaker and Mr. Dormer, myself, and just the whole kind of the way that the people that would be in the normal, you know, sort of graduation will kind of be stitched together to create a video that the kids will be able to watch on graduation night. We will also be streaming that video for anyone out there in our community or anywhere else that wants to watch it. It'll be shared through a YouTube and through some social media. We'll get that out to everybody so people can watch it from their homes here in town and across other family members that aren't here. So that's an advantage to that. And then prior to that, there will be a parade. The kids were pretty excited about wanting to plan a parade. Actually, Maria, you could weigh in here too. ASB is working out the route for it. And we had a good test run today with the elementary staff. So I guess we know what it looks like to have 25 or 30 cars streaming through town. And so that was helpful. Anyway, so I think that's going to be a lot of fun, I think, for the kids. They'll be in the car with their families. We'll have the route published. People can come out in their parking lot or in their, you know, yards or the end of their driveway and decorate, you know, have signs if they want or yell and scream or bullhorns, whatever kinds of things people want to have. I think there were cowbells today. I don't know. There were all kinds of fun noises coming through. So we are a creative town. We can do this. And then the route won't go all the way out, I don't think, to Papke's or beyond there. So if you live further out, I think you can come into town with your car and park alongside the route and, you know, still be able to celebrate the students' accomplishments. And your part in this is what we probably need to talk through. We actually have two parents on the board. So one of the things that you get to do when you're on the board is give your child, hand them their diploma. So you really can hand your child their diploma because they're yours and you can hand it to them. So Jay and Cheryl get to do that. And actually Mr. Dormer as the principal gets to do that too. So there'll be at least three kids that, you know, sort of get it the usual way that way. We have a couple other staff members that get to do that too. So we're planning to actually hand out those diplomas that on May 26th, at the end of the parade. So the kids will actually kind of come through and end up in front of the high school, kind of by the flagpole there. And we will be handing them their diploma and Tanya Somerville will be there to snap a photo. They can step out of the car and get their diploma. We'll take a picture and then they'll get to go up, I think, to the ball field and in their cars and do a drive-in watching of their graduation video. Is that pretty much the summary, Mr. Dormer and Maria?
Yeah. One thing I'd like to add is that basically I think the farthest it goes out is Scow Bay. Mr. Dormer, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So if you are from out the road, like the Scow Bay turnaround is going to be part of the course, if I'm remembering right from what Jack told me. So.
Yeah. That sounds right to me. Right, Mr. Dormer?
Yep. That's where we got right now.
Okay. So Sarah, as the board president, typically that's, you know, part of part of the role there is being able to give those out. And so I'm assuming you would want to be there at the flagpole with us in front and at the high school. And Cheryl and Jay would be there as well as parents. Mr. Dorman would be there. And then we have a couple of other staff members. And then so that there will probably be about 9 of us there. And then Tanya will be there with taking photos of all the kids right there as they come through. I'm assuming that's what people want to do. Is that correct, board
member? Yeah, it sounds fine.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much what's going on with graduation. Those signs are really fun around town. I know Mr. Dormer and Mr. Cabral had fun delivering the yard signs around on Friday, and then the parents, the timing of those other beautiful banners downtown. So it's looking very festive for our graduates. It's pretty nice. Okay.
This turned out nice, both the yard signs as well as the ones that are downtown. Okay. Anybody have any questions? I guess we'll solidify everything. We'll get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on to Alaska Smart Start 2020 for K through 12 schools. You'll be in again. She'll be discussing Alaska's Smart Start 2020 for K through 12. The Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Education Department of Education Early Development has developed a framework for Alaska's K through 12 districts and schools to use a plan for the restart of school in 2020 through 2021 school year. Take it away.
Okay. So talked a little bit about this today on the radio as well. And we're just kind of sharing a little visual here that's not completed. So it's not really out yet because it's fairly new framework and a new idea that the Commissioner of Education and his staff have been trying to work through as some guidance for school districts moving into the fall. And their plan or their hope is to work with the Department of Health and Social Services and Commissioner Crum and Dr. Zink and the Department of Epidemiology to look at creating some guidance around what it might look like within a community and within a school to be sort of low risk, medium risk, and high risk, and then knowing that there might be different things within the conditions for learning. And there's a lot of different factors that we have to work on as a school district, but we have to work around medical guidance from the professionals. So their idea is to give us some conditions within each of those low, medium, and high risk kind of blocks in the framework. And then they give us the guidance, and then we say, okay, this is how we can implement it. So if they're saying there has to be a certain distance between students, or there can only be a certain number of students in a building, or different kinds of factors like that, they would give us those parameters, and then we would take those and say, okay, this is what it looks like at Stedman Elementary School or Mitkoff Middle School or Petersburg High School. And we would come together with a plan, whether that means smaller groups of students on a kind of a staggered schedule, a hybrid of sorts, you know, whether it's some on-site, some distance, trying to look at the conditions for younger students, which is clearly very challenging in an online environment, as well as some of our highest needs students who require, also it's very difficult for them to access their education virtually for long periods of time. So that could mean that we might start one way in the fall, and then we may be able to adjust. So maybe we do start on sort of a distance model similar to what we're doing, or a hybrid model, and then maybe we're able to have more access to you know, larger groups or different sizes, or it might actually go the other direction. So the idea is that we're hoping to maintain a little bit of fluidity within that, a little bit of flexibility, so that we're not just the one size fits all, which is kind of where we've had to be this spring, you know, just by default, it's just the way it's been. So we're hoping to have some flexibility within that for maybe some different size groups and different access. So that's the idea behind it. They're supposed to be meeting and working with Department of Health and Human Services and Dr. Zink this week. So we're actually hoping to get some of these boxes filled in by them, and then and then we'll take the framework and hopefully start working with a small group of administrators, staff members, possibly a board member to think about scenarios, what come up with some different options within this, and then be able to talk to families and students about it. So it's not a big surprise in August, you know, have some pre-planning. So that is the thinking behind the framework. Anybody have any questions for me about that? Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, we'll move on to now the proposed reorganization of the middle school, high school science courses. We talked a little bit about this on campus here today, but Principal Rick Dormer will present a proposal for reorganizing the order of the The middle school and high school science program. I was reading on your screen.
I'm sorry. The line with the next, there it is.
No, that's fine. I'll use the iPad. Go right ahead. Take it away, Mr. Dormer.
Well, thank you, everyone. We've been talking as a schools, this is middle school and high school, for some time on this, and then things kind of hit. And so we talked through curriculum steering. I know Alice Kumps is on here, and I'd turn this over to her just in a sec, but sorry, I was reading comments from Katie, who met with us on curriculum steering on this, but this is really stuff that makes a lot of sense. We're talking about reorg for this one, and help me clarify Superintendent Clude Painter, that we're talking about the reorg, and then should at the end of this, is it okay to bring up the idea of the credit, potential credit change, even though it's a board policy? Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So Alice, you want to jump on and talk about the basis behind the science classes, or do you want me to talk and you answer questions?
Sure, I can give a little brief overview. So last June, the state formally adopted new science standards, and those new science standards are based off of the next generation's science standards, which is kind of what sparked this whole idea, along with the experience I've had teaching physical science to sixth grade students, which is challenging. Physical science relies on a lot of math that the average sixth grader does not doesn't have those skills yet. And it's a lot more appropriate to teach physical science in eighth grade. So we are proposing that we move physical science up to the eighth grade and move life science down to the sixth grade. Currently, life science is taught at the seventh grade. And then we would place earth science in the middle in the seventh grade. That's a really nice fit for those seventh grade students who are also taking geography. And we see a lot of benefits having a seventh grader take both earth science and geography and doing a lot of collaborative work between the two classes. Mm-hmm. And life science is a perfectly appropriate class to teach at the sixth grade level, and they will get it again in high school. And so by shifting physical science to eighth grade, that would also change the way that we teach our high school classes. Currently, physical science is taught in the ninth grade again, but since they are now getting it as eighth graders, we don't feel like they need to have it as ninth graders again. So we would move biology down to be taught at the ninth grade level. And then all 10th graders would take an introduction to chemistry class. And we really feel that that's going to give all of our students a really solid foundation for science as they move forward through science classes as juniors and seniors, and then even as well for those students that are going into college or university or a technical institution. So that's kind of what you're seeing on the screen right now. We also kind of decided as a science department that it was really important for us to have a solid four-year plan, so that all incoming freshmen could see what the 4 years would look like for them as far as what science classes are being offered. So that's what you're seeing. That's why it looks a little bit messy. But science is one of those weird core classes at our school because we're so small in that we teach a lot of our classes just on the every other year. So we thought that was important for those students to know. For example, that they, you know, physics wouldn't necessarily be taught every year, but if they want to take it, now they have a plan in front of them as far as what year they could take that. So that's kind of the overview of the shifting of classes. I think it's important to mention that we're not, with this shift, we're not introducing any new classes. They are still all the same classes under the current curriculum that we have approved. We are just shifting as far as what grade level we're teaching it at.
Right. Would you have, I got a question. I'm just trying to track it. I guess I'm having a hard time understanding. The intro to chemistry, would you have later a chemistry class, just a straight up chemistry class?
Yes. So students that wanted to could take a second year of chemistry. So it would be an advanced chemistry class. And then students that really wanted to, maybe their senior year would be taking AP chemistry if that's something that we eventually, if we decide that's something that we eventually want to offer. You can see on that year 23, 24, that is the plan to eventually offer that as another AP option for students that are really wanting to go into science at the college level.
Okay.
Yep.
And I think also that I think you just said something similar to that, Alice, where it's not, you're not necessarily, like you say, rewriting a bunch of the curriculum that way. It's more of reordering and then making it adjust to the skill level that's appropriate, like with the eighth grade and physical science, rather than six. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Anything else there?
Questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you, Mrs. Kumps and Mr. Dormer. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, no, it's smart. I'm glad they did that. I've covered physical science with a few times when I stopped by teachers right now, Mrs. Thompson, before Ms. Tice, who was new to it. And as they were moving around, I've covered a little bit. And that math is too hard for sixth graders. It really is. It's easy to see. It's a nice change. And then it really spreads things out. It's a really nice plan. I know a lot of schools down south have moved physical science out of high school. And to be honest, we get a lot of transfer kids in who don't have physical science, because they came from a school that started with biology, and then we were trying to figure out, do you make a junior anyway? So this is definitely, it's a smart move. It's the right thing for kids to have a good plan. And I just love they've mapped out this plan of some of our courses, so students can really have a good path, because if you want to be serious about science and college, you really do need to have that structure foundation. You don't want to go in cold turkey to something, you know, be a chemistry major, not have taken AP Chem, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's a nice plan, and it allows a lot of different pathways. It isn't just for heavy science kids. There's a lot of stuff like the marine science, which makes so much sense, you know, keeping that in there. I love AP environmental science, which some we don't have, but to talk about, that's an easier AP class. And obviously environmental science makes sense here in Petersburg. So it is a really nice plan. I appreciate the thought they've put into it.
And then Mr. Dormer, do you want to talk a little bit about, and or Ms. Kumps, about some of the conversations we've had around graduation requirements and some thoughts about, it wouldn't be a decision of anything tonight because it would potentially need to be a discussion with the policy committee, but do you guys want to talk about that? Science credits?
Yeah, please, if you pull up, I think you've got it up. It looks like the graduation credits. This is, Ms. Kumps put this together. This is an outstanding document. It's, if you wanted to argue about what we're about to say, it makes it pretty hard to do that if you're looking at what everyone else is doing. It just lays out the credits, and again, to have a well-rounded student, and we are heavy on electives, so I guess my piece to say before Alice jumps into this is that we're not discussing right now about adding credits to the graduation requirements. We just would be shifting from an elective to the science. So go ahead, Mrs. Kumps, I'll let you take it away now.
Yeah, so this idea, I mean, of course, as a science teacher, but also because I did get to serve on the committee that was that worked on rewriting the new standards. So I met a lot of teachers from around the state, and just talking to them and finding out that most or a lot of the places around the state required 3 years of a science in order to graduate. I did a little bit more research and I kind of put it into the spreadsheet, and it really surprised me that we have 2 credits only. That is the minimum requirement set by the state too. So we are meeting that requirement, but I really strongly feel that 3 credits is the way to go for our students, so that they are prepared for technical school or for college or university. I've had a lot of kids ask me more recently what science classes they can take so that they are fulfilling those 3 credits in order to apply or get into whatever school they want to. And usually they're, you know, lab-based, you know, it's 3 credits of science and 2 of them have to be lab-based. So that's going to be your biology and your chemistry class, which was another reason for moving chemistry down to the 10th grade and making it a required class. When I started looking at this, the other surprise to me was that we do have so many elective credits. So I'm not proposing that we increase the total amount of 24 credits for graduation, but that we reallocate those elective credits. We've talked about moving one over into the science column, and maybe even, you know, a bigger discussion then would be maybe moving something into the CTE Voc Ed World credits too. But I really think that it's important for all of our students that are graduating to have 3 solid years of science. And we would, require freshmen to take biology, sophomores to take that intro chem class. And then that third credit is really up to the student. You know, maybe it's that second year of chemistry, maybe it's AP biology, maybe it's the marine science class. We offer so many other science classes that we would leave that up to the student.
Yeah. So that would be, if we did want to look at that, that would be a policy change, because that's a graduation requirement, and it's written into board policy, the way that the credits are laid out. So that would be something, I think, that if we wanted to maybe have a formal proposal for that, maybe from you, Mr. Dormer and Ms. Kumps, that we could, you know, an actual, this is what we'd like to do and why, and then I think we could just put that before the policy committee, and then it would go before the board to discuss. So it would be, you're potentially recommending 9, going from 10 and a half electives to, or 10 and a half credits of electives, 9.5, and that 1 credit over just to the science, mm-hmm. making the 3, is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And I don't know that it matters right now, but there is another tab down there, Erica, on the spreadsheet. I also did some comparisons to the different states. So that might be interesting to some people.
There it is.
Yeah, so I was kind of trying to track different states that were also changed. A lot of states, at least on the West Coast and then some on the East Coast, have been changing also to the next generation science standards. And as they have been adopting those standards, their science requirements have also been changing. So you can kind of see that with Washington and Oregon. They had to, but then starting in 2021 for Washington, or for Oregon, they started in 2014. They increased to 3 years of science as well for their high school graduation credits.
This might be a question to answer just off the top of your head. I'm curious, how many of our students are already taking advantage of 3 years of science? Just because they like it, because we have a variety in electives. I'm just kind of curious. I think it's an excellent idea to make for a
curve, and I
but
think
I'm just kind of curious, do we have kids already just saying, I want to do this anyway?
I think a lot of kids are doing that because they want to, or because they know they have to have chemistry or physics or a third year to apply for college.
Yeah, that was, I was thinking that seems like something even
So Sarah, as the policy committee as well, would that be beneficial for to ask them to write up, you know, kind of a proposal for, you know, to go before the policy committee to discuss that and then?
Yeah, and actually, if you wouldn't mind sharing this spreadsheet, I think that would be very helpful to see by state. It's just kind of more information, you know, it's not, we don't always do what everybody else does, but sometimes it's good to see what everybody else is doing.
Sure.
And it would have to be, as I recall, anytime we do this, we may have to, and maybe it's not as, so I think we'd probably have to do it in a phase, phasing in with the freshman class versus dumping it on a sophomore or junior that, hey, now you've got to take 3 years to graduate. You know, I right. think there has to be some sensitivity to that.
Yeah, so. Usually starts with whatever that freshman class in to follow class, there.
Yeah. And policy takes 2 readings. So the soonest we could probably, even if we decided to change it for the fall, it would have to be done. We would have to come up with some sort of policy to for the board to consider in June and then a second reading in August, which is just difficult timing for parental input, community input, but considering most of us are probably not going anywhere this summer, maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
And
we might be dialed in more than in past summers. Yeah. I don't know.
I just want to clarify something. I kind of presented both of these ideas, but what we're really wanting is to change the shifting of the science classes that are being taught and the order. That's something that we would like to implement starting next school year. So starting in the 2020.
Yeah, I don't think that requires policy. Yeah. That doesn't require a board approval. That's administrative and for your okay. you know, for the middle school, high school to just determine. Yeah, it's administrative. Right. I don't want to even call it regulation, but decision.
And the credits, I just wanted to start that process. It doesn't okay. have to happen right away. I recognize okay. there's yeah. it takes a little bit longer for that to happen. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to start that process. So
yeah, we just wanted to roll it all together in the conversation mm-hmm. so you guys had context for it. So okay, well, I can share those spreadsheets, or I mean, I can share these docs with you, mm-hmm. with the board, just for your information too. So. We can do it.
Maria, did you take 4 years? 3 years?
I took 6 years.
You took what?
6 years, because I took Mr. Feldman's
wow.
geology survey, and then I'm taking 2 science credits this year, and I took 1 every year. But yeah.
Nice.
Triple threat.
Yeah. Overachiever. Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Dormer or Mrs. Kumps? No?
Can I ask a quick okay. opinion just for Sarah on policy and then the superintendent? That comment that Mrs. Kumps made also is something Ms. Turner, by the way, she loves the science credit idea and supportive of that change as our counselor. But that idea of, you saw several states also require a CTE credit mm-hmm. or it said CTE fine arts or something. I wonder, is it, should we tackle science and then stop and then maybe open that up? Or should we, as we look at it, should we also talk about that idea of, would people be supportive of requiring a semester up to a credit of, you know, fine arts or voc ed or something like that? Because that's another something Mrs. Kumps brought up too. And that's probably something worth talking about. It seems like we're a little off, especially in our great community of so many of our students needing to be able to use their hands. And a lot of them excel that way, you know?
I think it might be worth discussing at the same time. My question would be is whether our school district, can we physically accommodate every student being required to take a class in the fine arts, or in, would fine arts fall under music as well as visual and like Mrs. Laura's class as well as music, or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then CTE, whether, you know, I know that some of those classes have to be capped just for safety reasons. So whether we could accommodate that as well. You know, I don't, that would be my I guess my only reservation is just strategic. Would it prevent that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think so, but it'd be a good discussion to really crunch the numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a policy committee discussion more than anything, and then bringing it to the board.
Yeah, okay. I think it'd be good to discuss.
I have experience in Gid 12. My son tried to get in the whole time he was in high school, and then couldn't get into a class until his senior year. So maybe not a good idea to add the voc ed
requirement.
Stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because you might not be able to get in. So unless you add another teacher or more classes or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my concern, just whether we could accommodate, you know, it's sometimes a great idea, but whether we can have the space and in room in the schedule.
It's right. Hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
We cannot do everything.
No. Mm-hmm. Where does foreign language fall underneath all this? We don't have a foreign language requirement, but is that
right there? Yeah.
I think it was under elective for us.
The only one that's requiring it.
I think it's under an elective as well.
Okay. I'm just curious about that too.
Yep. Probably for similar reasons, like you're saying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really hard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great. And then maybe a computer science question too, right, Rick? Were you guys talking about something with that maybe for policy or graduation too?
Yeah, we're looking, well, food science, you know, we're trying to get that, make sure that's a science course as well as a CTE course. So Cheryl's talking about trying to add more to our CTE plate. And that's just a clarification, doing some paperwork for the state that we're working on together. And then, Mr. Thompson was hoping to, who teaches our computer science course in the middle school and the high schools through code.org training he's had. And he's having some questions. He'd love to talk about that being a math credit for kids, because obviously computer programming is heavy in math. It's the high school one, not the middle school one. Some changes there, as well as the discussion about statistics being maybe slightly more relevant than advanced placement calculus. So some questions there. So lots of good stuff. We got a lot of teachers, experts in their field asking good questions.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
All right, thank you.
And thank you, Mrs. Combs, it's a great document.
Yeah, it is, thanks, Alice.
All right, any other questions or comments? No, okay, we'll move on to our personnel hire. For 2021, we have Mara Litomsky with the Superintendent Board Executive Administrative Assistant starting in July. Ralph Johnston is the Director of Maintenance and Facilities, also beginning July 1st. Vanessa Miller taking on our fifth grade position in August, and Bridie Short taking on the sixth grade teacher position. So I'll make a motion to approve the hire of Mara Litomsky, Ralph Johnston, Vanessa Miller, and Bridie Short. I think I have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Some familiar faces, some new faces.
I can jump in on on Mara and Ralph, and then if Heather or Rick want to say anything else about Vanessa or Bridie. But we had a really strong applicant pool actually for both of those positions. I was really pleased, and it was a great process. And we're excited to have Mara Litomsky join us in July in this position. And then Ralph Johnston, he's retired from the Coast Guard, and his wife has been doing some student teaching and also worked as a paraprofessional for us. And he's going to bring some nice experience to the position that Dan Tate is leading. So we're welcome to both Mara and Ralph. And I don't know, Vanessa, do you want to say anything else about Mrs. Miller?
You know, she doesn't have to be there, but she's been there every step of the way planning to kind of get her head wrapped around what the fall might look like. So she, even though she's not being paid, she's there with us this whole time.
Exciting. It's great. And Mr. Dormer, anything about your hire?
Yeah, Brady Short, you know, local Viking graduate, which is always outstanding because they know that we're about hard work and excellence, and so you don't have to inundate them and train them as much, so she knows the community and knows our kids, and What really speaks volumes is that she's done student teaching with Mr. Sullivan. It's outstanding, you know, experience. Mrs. Dahlberg, outstanding experienced teacher, and Mrs. Shumway, who's also a really effective educator. And they all three of them said she's outstanding. So it's to have those reviews from people who really have there worked with her, seen her working with kids, and know that it's an easy hire because we're excited to have her. So yeah, welcome to Bridie. It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the hires of Marla Tomsky, Ralph Johnston, Vanessa Miller, and Bridie Short. Irene, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Katie Homeland?
Yes.
Megan Litster?
Yes.
Maria Funt?
Catch him for you. Motion passes 5-0. Hey, any additional comments from board members?
I have some questions. Sorry, I didn't ask earlier, but it was during the finance part. So the summer school busing. So does this mean the kids are going to go to school?
So what we're talking about, and Heather could weigh in here as well, we've typically offered programs in the summer, but in the past. And so this summer we're looking at some various opportunities for families, partially based on what the closure has looked like for some kids, some families. And so the first session of that is a kind of a partnership with the public library. And that one is a little less structured, I guess, for lack of a better word. And then there's another session that would be available for students more in July and into August. And that one would be potentially for students who might need a little more intensive work, but also trying to provide some transportation for them. That's often an issue for families, looking at maybe an earlier morning session if it works for families and kids, but also keeping it within a few weeks so it's not like an entire, summer. But and then looking at doing something with STEM or STEAM activities right before school for kids as well. So just trying to provide some different options for kids and hoping to have some opportunities with small groups so we can get, so kids can have access to people in real life, because that's been really challenging for some of our kids that really have needed that and haven't been able to have it. And it's, and we've talked with quite a few families who are interested in that for that reason, because it's been challenging, and they feel like they've got their children are in need of that and have, they have some kids have lost some time here this spring, which is hard. So Heather, do you want to add anything to that? Any details?
Just that we're working with the Department of Education and the borough to see what kind of protocols and what kind of situations we can put ourselves in or not.
Yeah. How creative we can be once again. Yeah.
Is this specifically for kids with special needs that normally would qualify for summer school or extended school year, or for any kids?
Heather, do you want to answer that? There's a couple of options there.
Right. We do have a couple options. The first option right now, the Petersburg Public Library is open to all. There is, we are going to try to structure it a little bit more by just providing a sit down time. We can have 5 kids per paraprofessional that's in the building in 2 rooms. So there's only 10 people in the building as far as the kids right now. We're going to have that. It's going to start It's going to start May 26th. And I think July 23rd, 24th. It's a Friday that it's going to end on. The public library will continue on with their program for the summer, but we are just trying to provide some sort of stability to the kids. To those kids, we do the MAP assessment every year in the district. And so a lot of those kids, we took the winter benchmark and some of them are below proficient. And so we're really going to try to target those below proficient just because of the Alaska Reads Act that the governor and Bagich and the commissioner had been working on. So we were trying to target the below proficient so that when they come into school, they might come in at a little bit higher than where they might have been.
Mm-hmm. So it's just it's expanding some of those options this summer, especially after the spring and sort of how strange it's all been, but it will kind of evolve as we get more guidance too. So yeah. Does that help, Cheryl?
I guess so. How do the teachers feel this is going, this way of teaching?
Just it's challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can let Rick and them weigh in too, but I think we've seen a lot of people. There's been a lot of creativity that's been shown. There's been some things I think that have come up that have actually been better than some things that happened in real time. But there's also been some things that have been really hard for kids that this is not their total cup of tea, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I've talked to quite a few people actually. Wondering about what's the process for turning homework in? Is there different, I know we have Canvas, but is there any other way besides Canvas to turn stuff in? Or is that the only thing we can do?
Is this for high school?
Secondary or elementary, Cheryl? I can jump in for secondary.
Secondary.
Oh, sure. Boy, we've talked a lot about assessing kids, and I know that like our PE teachers have been calling kids. I know our shop people have been just asking for pictures on their phone because kids, some of those things we know kids are doing. I've seen kids out riding their bike, and then Mr. Brock will say, yeah, they haven't turned in their logs, which is just, that's an organizational thing, not an active thing. And our goal is, you know, we want kids to be active. So if they'll tell us on the phone what they did, or mom and dad say, yeah, they went for a bike ride for an hour yesterday, it's 10 out of 10, you know, so we're assessing kids, expanding that. That's not, you know, perfect pedagogy in the, you know, what they teach us in college, but this is not regular times. So I know a lot of teachers are taking snapshots on the phone. In fact, I saw Brooklyn doing it for calculus a couple weeks ago. So we're trying to be open to a lot of different assessment because we know kids are doing a lot of the stuff. It's just, we can't get to them. You know, they're stuck at home and we're stuck at home. So that's the secondary.
Is everybody doing that? Is everybody trying? Because I've talked to someone that said, no, you cannot send it over email. They won't let me. They only want it on Canvas. And Canvas is not accessible all the time.
I'm just
asking questions.
Oh, no, it's okay. I couldn't make an absolute. I would just say if the parents having a hard time getting stuff in, man, they can send me an email or give me a call because teachers we've been talking a lot about, and they've talking to me a lot about just trying to connect with kids and make sure that they're getting credit for the work they're doing.
So is Canvas, is it only open? I don't understand. So is Canvas open when the teacher opens it, or how does that work, Rick?
They can access it anytime because it lives on the cloud, you know, like.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's on the cloud. But sometimes I know assignments aren't open until the teachers. So that keeps it from being like an online class where kids could just work ahead, but it also means that kids wouldn't go back a month and find something that, you know, was already done. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just trying to figure out that maybe they need a better, maybe a little bit more leeway on having the Canvas open instead of, hey, you have to do this at 5 o'clock. I don't know. I've just had parents say that they're having difficulty getting stuff in.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of emails and talks with parents and stuff too. We sure appreciate them because this is a lot on them, and we don't want it to be. I know that teachers, and I would say we don't want to be, you know, teaching where we're at, and we sure miss the kids, and we wish we had them in front of us more because it's a lot easier to teach when they're there, but it's also a lot of good connections and relationships. So if there's anything we can do with parents, someone give me a call or shoot me an email. I'll do my very best.
I mean, we've never done this before. And I really hope we're not doing this in the fall because It's hard. I mean, it's hard to talk to you guys. You just can't go in and say, hey, I'm having this problem. Yeah. And then you have to wait. Well, when do I talk? I mean, it's just, I don't know, you guys. I'm done, but I understand. But okay, it's just a new thing. And I know it's, I still have lots of questions, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. I know that our teachers are doing the best they can. I think some stuff should have been a pass fail on some classes. And I think that some teachers aren't, I mean, they're doing their best. Please don't get mad at me. I'm just listening to parents that maybe they're being ramped things up a little too much. And some people are being a little more easy and it's new for the kids too. I think everybody needs a break. I don't know, more forgiving at things. You know, next year might be a little different, be more experienced, but for me, I mean, shoot, my senior had 2 weeks off. Do you think he really wants to go back to school? You know, I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know, you guys. I'm just voicing a little bit of my own opinion, but also some things that people had expressed things. So I don't know if I'm making any sense at all.
You are. We've had the same. Oh, Maria's on there. Jump in, Maria.
Yeah. So actually, I was having some of the same frustrations as you, Cheryl. But in our ASB meeting, we were actually talking about that and how just, I think it's that different students work differently. And like, we've known that for like a very long time. And some students work very well when there is an absolute date or also procrastinate. And so I think some teachers were really trying to help them by giving them a more solid of a date. Like I know that Mrs. Ward does a really good job of that. Just like, it's a very solid date. But like, for me personally, like I've been working on the boat, and when I have the option to do my homework or go hike Petersburg Mountain, I'm gonna go hike Petersburg Mountain, and I'm not like, and that's just how it is. But so it's just like different students, and I think the teachers have been just trying to like get to both of those kinds of students, but it's just very hard. And I guess, I don't know. So yeah, I understand your frustrations, but I also think our teachers are trying to do the best they can. So not sure if that helps.
Oh no, it, you know, I know they're doing, everyone's doing the best they can because it's a new thing. And I know that if we're like this in the fall, which I hope we're not, that it'll be even better because our teachers will have more experience and our students will have more experience. I just worry about people or kids getting left out, left behind, not, I know the teachers can only reach out to them for so much. It's just frustrating. I'm sorry. It's just frustrating.
We agree with you, Cheryl, by the way, that actually that comment right there is one of the things that we've had the hard, one of the, been one of the hardest parts, you know, because when kids are coming into the building, you can put your eyes on them, you know, and yeah. you can see them and you can, and you have a better gauge of that. And they have a different a way to approach, you know, there's the staff members too. And so, like you said yourself, as an adult, you've lost that connection to a degree too, you know, the ability to stop by and say hello to me or walk into the district office, you know, or walk into the high school as a parent. And it makes it even more challenging. So you're not alone. As Maria said, the kids are talking about it. Teachers are too. Yeah, it's not perfect. Well, Rick said it too. We miss our kids. We miss being able to see them, engage that. It makes it hard to modify and adjust during times like that. So we hear you.
I have a question kind of relating to what Cheryl and Maria were saying, and Maria mentioning, you know, how teachers are trying to work towards their student. Have we or you all discussed the possibility of looping at all? Because I just feel like going into the fall, if technology is going to be such a big part of it, and not having new teachers that don't necessarily have a relationship already with their students, I don't know how that would work with kindergarten, but is looping at all an option or something that teachers would be interested in?
I'm interested in looping. I don't know if Heather can speak to that for the elementary.
I can speak to that. That's actually, it's nothing is off the table. Nothing is absolutely off the table. I've heard that a lot from a few teachers in the past few days. One thing that we are really talking about, Katie, is a move up day or a few move up days. So we're not just going to, boom here, put them into, their new class in August and expect them to have this relationship with them. So we are, that is on like part of our meeting discussions as to how can we make this an easier transition for them? How can we build the relationships with them as teachers and students? What's best for them and how are we going to do this knowing that some of those relationships are gonna be raw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks,
what's looping? What's looping? I don't know what looping is.
Staying with the same group for more than 1 year, like going up, like if you teach a class in first grade and then you move with them to second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or even to third. There are schools that actually do 2 or 3 year rotations.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one more? Sorry. There is something else that Cheryl said that I thought was pretty interesting, and it was about like pass or fails and GPA. And I know that the ASB talked about it, and we were really, liked keeping our letter grades just because we didn't want to encourage like lack of trying. But now since we are at the end, I think that people have been trying as much as they can. Would it be like an idea to think about just like having the option of pass or fail now that we're at the end and everyone's given their effort as they can, having that option might help like the underclassmen who've like had a harder time with this situation or something like that. If their GPA has gone down from this, it's just hard. Like, oh, there was that one time that we didn't have the same situations. And so my GPA went down and that might be harder in like future. But, like for like their junior and senior year, just like having that decreased GPA might be a concern, but I'm not really sure, but I just had that thought.
Interesting.
That's kind of uncharted territory. My first initial reservation would only be just that how it affects GPAs and how post-secondary education institutions view that. And potentially causing a problem. I mean, I might be way off base, but I think it might be something to consider, you know, as we look at the policies for the fall, especially if we're in a very similar situation where we're still not back into our brick and mortar buildings, whereas this was just kind of a throwing everything out the door and trying to get through the last 2 months of school, basically. But if this is becoming the new norm, then it may look a little different. But that's just my initial response. I could easily be swayed.
I do have a few friends out of state and in state that have their high schools have changed to pass or fail because of this. And they said that, so I don't think for this situation as of this semester, that post-sec like colleges will be looking differently on their GPA due to this, but I do think that like yes, going into next year pass or fail would be not the greatest, but I do know that a lot of high schools have changed that, and also the majority of colleges have also changed pass or fail for this semester just because it was so different and crazy and everyone was learning, and so yeah.
Interesting.
Well, and you know, the GPAs and stuff, they also, a lot of schools, some Ivy League schools don't look at the GPAs. They also look at your SATs, ACTs. I do have a friend down south and her kid, he was going to law school and they went to a pass fail in law school. So I also was thinking more of electives, but anything could be possible. And like Maria said, and I actually thought about this too, that during this time, students going into college in the fall, they might not look at this last quarter of their high school as that much of a problem because of everything that happened, the COVID-19 and learning online, and it was a different situation for all. So that's why all I have to say.
Good conversation.
I do want to throw out too, our middle school electives went to pass fail. We did agree as a staff to do middle school electives pass fail.
So if we do middle school pass fail, why couldn't we just, I mean, do the high school too? Is that not, I'm just talking, sorry. See, when you don't see people, you don't get to talk and discuss things.
It's good discussion. It's good.
Could that be an option, Rick, if it comes down to it? Or
we talked about it. We talked about it a little before. One, I mean, as a staff, we don't love saying 70% is good enough for the best that this kid can do, you know, so 70, 80, 90 is all the same. But for and then the other concern, like Sarah brought up, was the idea of it is possible, but what do colleges do if you take a, you know, if you take a class that was been A for half of it, and all of a sudden it goes from a letter to a pass fail, and what does that mean for colleges? And then what does it mean for GPA for our school, you know, and all the things we compute, whether that's the scholarships or the valedictorians, all that stuff. So it seemed like a sticky wicket, to use a Ginger Evans term, that seems very applicable here. And so we decided not to tackle it and accommodate and kind of modify. We, as you know, we've cut back on the curriculum quite a bit, slowed pace down a lot of classes, and we've kind of done our best that way, as well as the assessment stuff we talked about before, trying to find creative ways to give kids credit for doing stuff they're doing.
Yeah. Something to add is that some of the high schools I've heard about have had the option to like have a pass fail. So like, say I had a poor grade and it was in an elective, and I was like, okay, well, I'd prefer to have a pass fail. But my friend who had been working very hard, like very like studious, and was really proud that they had worked towards a certain grade even during all the craziness, had 98. They still got to keep that on their record and still like got to show that. But so that's one thing, if you were worried about just not being able to like still show people who are going above and beyond during this time.
Good feedback, Maria.
I'd be curious to see how their schools passed that, if it was, because it seems like it would be another policy situation where we would have to be making change to policy, or at least temporarily. And how did these other school districts handle it? Did they jump on it right away? Is that part of it? You know, they jumped on it in March and immediately made this decision in March, or are they? So, in terms of pass fail versus grades, did they have to involve their school board, or was it an administrative decision?
Well, Rick did it for middle school. I mean, they did it for middle school. Here, pass fail.
Yeah, electives.
Yeah,
and so I can understand that a little more, only because the middle school didn't have laptops that came home. Their use of online learning is much more limited than high school online learning has been, and also just the responsibility level of a 17-year-old versus a 12-year-old is substantially different in getting homework in and following through on expectations. Of course, there are some 12-year-olds out there that might exceed 18-year-olds. But I just thought the reality of, you know, I could see why there would be a difference, that they wouldn't necessarily be treated equally for that reason.
And credit bearing courses in high school too.
Right.
But, yeah, I think there were some that were passed, you know, that it would be kind of an emergency sort of board meeting that way. There were also places that looked at it at the beginning as going pass fail and then actually switched back. So it's been both, like Maria said, there's some who went there right away, and then there's some who actually changed back to look at grades, because to be honest, some issues with people taking it as seriously. So, I mean, the students too. So there was kind of the flip side of that that happened. Yeah, it's been, we've learned a lot this spring. We're learning a lot. It's, wow.
In some school districts that completely just shut down and did nothing or doing nothing. It's incredible how some of these kids, my nephew and niece, their school pretty much just stopped at spring break and they didn't resume. Yeah. Very little.
That's got to be Oregon.
They're not middle school or high school, but just it's kind of alarming. But.
Yeah, we've heard that too. Yeah, I know that's a tangent. But.
Do we know what percentage of our kids are actually signing in for classes?
Jay, are you talking attendance? Who's coming to class every day, or who sign up for?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, our attendance is higher now than it was when we were in session with regular. It's our kids are just being amazing. And to be fair, that was stats from maybe a week ago, but no, our kids are doing really well, showing up and coming to classes. It's really great.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been high attendance.
Say it again.
Oh, I was just saying it's been high attendance. That's what you guys had said.
Yeah. Yeah. In the 90% for kids. It's really awesome. Like Cheryl's saying, the disconnect is just getting to work and then they're, you know, obviously you only have so much time, 20 to 30 minutes for a class, and then they're completing the work. And then just that connect of trying to get stuff from kids, having to use digital means as opposed to, you know, can't hand a paper in and, you know, you can't meet with them, that kind of stuff. But no, attendance is great. Our kids and our families are doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
Is there potential like down the line once we're back in, you know, the buildings? And I mean, this is probably a discussion for years from now, but the potential to use this platform and shift to like a 4-day school week and then do like a tech day and then give our teachers more time to collaborate between grade levels? Is that, I mean, it's not something that is happening now, obviously, but I mean, if attendance is great, why not to kill two birds with one stone, essentially, and, you know, hour or two online with their teacher, and then the rest of the day our teachers can collaborate with their grade level co-teacher?
Katie's reading our minds, Heather. So Katie gets to draw the short straw to be on the committee, right?
You know, I like committees.
I know you do. That's what I'm saying. For real.
I was talking to a school member or a admin or what? Yeah, I'm not going to mention his name because, and he was suggesting that maybe certain amount of kids go to school on Monday, another kids go to school on Tuesday, and you know, 3 days a week or whatever, half days, and then Friday off. So that, I mean, if that's what we have to do, that might be an option, Jamie.
It's absolutely an option.
And I thought that was I thought it was an excellent idea.
So yeah.
We have thrown out so many scenarios, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you know, or Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday group, AM, PM wave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I was in Auk Bay School when it was sinking and we went to Glacier Valley. Glacier Valley went in the morning. Auk Bay School went in the afternoon. It worked.
Yep.
We did it for like almost a year.
Exactly.
But we did. Got out of school at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
But you got to sleep in.
I did. I did. I mean, you have to do things, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that could be something. Half the teachers go to work in the early morning. The other half goes in that late afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get kids in school and it makes sense and it helps everyone. I mean, we got to have all the options, I guess. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Good ideas.
Nothing's off the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's off the table.
Yep, absolutely.
And Katie's on the committee, whatever it is.
Yes, Katie is. And I hope that everyone listening to the radio station is appreciative that we're discussing this stuff, because I know that everyone has questions about what's going on. So as long as you know, we don't know what's going on yet. So, you know, we don't know what's going on yet, but we are working our admins and all of our teachers and everyone is working on some sort of plan. So
yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Cheryl.
We will have something, and it's constantly changing. So who knows? We'll have a plan in August, and maybe we'll be back in school in September. Who knows?
We'll keep all the scenarios there. I love it.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, all the teachers, and you and Erica, Jamie, Rick, everyone, for everything you guys are doing. And we appreciate all the time and all the meetings and all the Zoom and all the ring meetings you have to attend every day. We just appreciate you guys. And we wish we could have did more for you guys on teacher appreciation, but we understand. And yes, we have questions, and yes, we have frustrations, but you guys make it easier to deal with everything. So I just want you to know that you're very much appreciated. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks so much, Cheryl. Thank you.
And every day our sweet little angels are home, we appreciate you more.
Yes, especially the second grader.
I love it. Oh, perfect ending.
I'm done. We're done. I'm done.
That was great.
Any comments or questions? Okay. Any future agenda items? Or I'm going to skip over upcoming dates and meeting announcements. It'll be on the website.
Yeah.
And coming through emails. Make sure you check your email. Check Facebook. We have morning announcements. Any future agenda items except for policy, potentially?
I just have to say real quick, Sarah, sorry.
No,
it's good. If anyone's listening and they have questions or ideas, please reach out to any of us.
Yes.
I mean, our
emails are on the website.
Yes, please reach out. If you have concerns, reach out. We're all in this together. Okay.
Yes, it's true.
And Sarah, for your dates, everything, hopefully activities-wise, is planned out through December already. So everything is on the activity calendar, updated as we know it.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Fingers crossed that they'll be able to do it.
Yes.
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn if we don't have anything else.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mariah. You're done. This is your last meeting. Thank you for being here for the last 2 years. Sorry, Sarah.
No, it's fine. I don't know. We're going to be sad that she's moving on to bigger and better things. Don't forget us, Maria. Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Meg Lister.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Maria Funt.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening.